Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, back on the show. And she's here to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan Pride, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How about that? It's coming up, huh?
I like that you don't say happy holidays.
I know. Well, you know, I actually think it's appropriate to do that sometimes.
Sometimes, but when it's Christmas.
If you're speaking to
today is Christmas Eve.
Right. But when you're speaking to a mass audience, I think it's appropriate to say happy holidays.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And but, you know, my Jewish friends, you know, and my friends in Islam say Merry Christmas to me.
There you
all
go.
The time, you know. And it's, in fact, tomorrow, Joan, I'll be right here doing my show live.
That's good. Well, I mean, that's
with,
what I mean.
With,
in the month
finish,
of December,
I mean,
generally, you can say happy holidays. But I think
right.
when you actually get to Christmas,
I know.
I think it's okay to say.
I agree. But tomorrow, Joan, I'm going to do my show, and two of my guests are Jewish.
Very good.
And you know why, don't you? Because they got nothing else to do.
Right. That's, except go to the movies. That's
exactly.
The old stereotype.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I tease them about that. But we're going to have a good visit. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, Joan, a little bit of news. The Senate passed the health care reform bill.
Just a few minutes ago.
The so-called health care reform.
Within the last hour.
Bill. And, yeah, and 60 to 39, my crack research team is telling me. 60 to 39.
Okay.
So it's we're that's a big hurdle, Joan. That's pretty much it's pretty much over the hump now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very tough to conference those two bills, I think.
Because basically the Senate,
I don't want to get your hopes up, but I think it's going to be hard to conference those bills.
The Senate bill has to really be the one that comes back from conference, right? I mean, and the House doesn't truck very well to taking what the Senate gives them, do they?
Yeah, but I don't know how you get a bill through Congress without it basically being the Senate bill.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, it's got to be that bill. But the Senate, but the House, I mean, they don't like being mandated to like that.
Well, and vice versa, yeah. I mean, that's why it's going to be so tough.
Yeah, it is going to be
you
tough.
You heard it here first, folks.
I agree with you. From your mouth to God's ears, Joan.
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, so anyway, folks, it's a momentous vote that was just taken, and we'll continue to track that. Joan, I liked the lead of your letter this week.
Really?
The spurt, and of course you guys always have these great words,
yes,
the
do.
Spurt in growth will spill over into 2010. Tell us about this spurt.
Well, we think the fourth quarter is going to come on strong. We say we're going to have growth of 4%
in the fourth quarter?
Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
You know, they revised third quarter down to 2.2.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
okay,
it was.
We've got 2.8 here, so that must have been before the revision.
I think they literally, you know, I really do. I mean, I think in the last few days they revised it down to 2.2.
Yeah, because this was published last Friday, so yeah.
Right, for third quarter, and so, but still, that still brought us out of a recession technically.
Mm-hmm.
And so
absolutely.
you're saying 4% for the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little momentum going into first quarter of 2010, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, what I'm going to see is interesting. In my area of the country, we were just completely snarled last weekend because of this huge snowstorm.
How many inches did you get?
18.
Wow.
And the point being that it was the weekend before Christmas.
Right.
And I know that there's a major snowstorm across the Midwest, like right now. So
right.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see if that actually I think that could make a dent. Both of those storms together could make a dent in what retailers had hoped would be kind of a surge
right.
in the last week to 10 days before Christmas.
A little retail momentum.
It kind of, I think it's killing the momentum
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I hope not, but I think it might be.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see. But still, Joan, the all of this momentum, all this spurt that you're talking about can't just be about the holidays.
That's true. And we say there are other things, too, like exports and
right.
things like that.
So that's good news, and hopefully that's going to turn things around
right.
a little bit. But it's still going to be slow, Joan, because mm-hmm. we still got 17 million people unemployed or underemployed. And that's,
right.
that's going to be tough. So let's
right.
move on down and talk about overall, though, you say GDP is going to be about 3% next year?
Over next year, which isn't bad.
And that's exactly tracks with what my economists are telling me, Joan.
Yeah.
So good for you guys. I mean, I'm proud that you coincide with the technicians. Stand by, 20 till. I'm Jim Lassengame. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. Stay with us.
I want to dandy. Yeah,
welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. That's me. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We hope you'll use it and take advantage of all the things we have there. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. And check out my newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. If you'd like to follow me, I'd appreciate that. I think you'll get something out of that. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, you guys have an outstanding website, kiplinger.com. And I encourage people to go there and subscribe to your many publications, including the flagship Kiplinger letter that we work off of every week. Joan, we're moving, which is what we're talking about right now, we're moving down and talking about some of the tax issues. Quite a few things are left undone. The Congress is, you know, they're probably, the Senate is already, I mean, they've already had the vote. I bet a lot of the senators are already at National Airport right now, you know, boarding a plane. They got the heck out of Dodge.
I guarantee you they're
quickly.
Already all on plane.
Yeah, yeah, they were voting as they were walking out the door to get home for the holidays. And so, but as they leave, Joan, you guys report, they've left a lot of things undone, haven't they?
And you could not have found a lobbyist or consultant or tax person in this town that would have told you this year that they would have left this thing undone. The estate tax is a very strange law that was passed in 2001 that gradually increased the exemption and reduced the rate until next year when both were zero. So it's the estate tax is repealed and life is wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two problems with that. Number one, this stupid, quirky law brings the estate tax back in 2011 with an exemption amount of only $1 million, which is much less than the exemption amount that's in effect right now, $3.5
million. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other problem. Estate tax goes down to zero next year.
Estate tax, ladies and gentlemen. Estate tax.
Yes,
taxes
estate.
On you, if you die on your estate... in 2000, and by the way, Joan, I know you didn't mean to say that the estate tax began in 2001. You meant the changes,
the repeal, the legislation that they passed
that happened in 2001.
The estate tax,
yeah,
from then until now.
Yeah, and so, folks, you've got next year, 2010, the estate tax for everybody is zero, right?
Well, but there's a problem with that. Right now, if your loved one died, say, tomorrow, any stocks or property you inherited from them, the basis on those would be what they call the date of death value.
Right.
So even if they bought them 30 years ago when they were worth nothing, the basis that you would use when you sold them would be what they were worth on the date of the person's death, which is great.
Right.
But next year, when the estate tax goes to zero, this other thing is going to kick in that requires the basis to be go back to when the person originally bought the property or the stocks.
Okay.
So that you've got a much, much, much bigger capital gain if you were to sell any of those assets.
All right, I'm confused about that. What if? Why wouldn't backdating it be better? Because with inflation, wouldn't things be likely to be worth less? I'm confused about that.
Well, I'm talking about capital gain. Let's say, for example, your relative bought a stock that was worth a dollar back in 1950.
Right.
Today it's worth $100.
Right.
Next year, the person dies.
Oh, I see what. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Your capital gain is going to be, instead of being
$99,
it's going to be, you know, $104.
Right. Right. So and they pass these laws without any sense of shame, Joan.
I know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So, and we really believed that they would do something to not let all this kick in next year, to not let this seesaw thing start.
Yeah.
But they just didn't get around to it.
Well, you know why they didn't get around to it? Because they were single-minded about healthcare which 70%
exactly
of Americans
right.
don't
because
want.
Because the House actually did pass something. It's the Senate that didn't get around to it.
Because, folks, they've been focusing on this stupid healthcare bill, which nobody wants. And, Joan, let me tell you something else. It's not just the tax issues. They've messed around, and a lot of the other provisions, a lot of the highway provisions have been left undone. I mean, a lot
right.
of states.
The worst thing, now, I don't know if it's correct to say that nobody wants the health care reform bill.
70%.
It is correct to say definitely. I can guarantee you that they were so single-minded on that they left other things undone, such as a whole bunch of other expiring tax provisions that people need and use. For example, the research and development tax credit, and a lot of
is that going to expire?
Yeah.
It'll officially expire, and I mean, do we expect him to come back and try to pick it back up or anything?
Well, the chairman of the tax committees have said they're going to try to take action early in the year to retroactively. I mean, when they extend everything, they're going to retroactively extend it to January 1st, 2010. The problem is, how long is it going to take them to do that?
No sense of shame.
Yeah,
any self-respecting professional wouldn't accept this kind of performance, lack of performance.
But they did pass a paperwork headache for employers.
Whatever.
They managed to get that done.
Whatever.
The so-called COBRA subsidy, which the federal government gives to workers when they leave the company when they're terminated, that was supposed to expire. That's been extended. Now, the problem with that is that there's a whole new notification requirement for employers to let people know that this extension has gone into effect.
Mm-hmm.
So just thought your listeners should be aware, because they may have a new, you know, new paperwork headache in the new year.
And we wonder, I wonder if they actually are confused and maybe even troubled, Joan, by the fact that their approval rating is only just a couple of notches above a terrorist.
Well, they care because they want to get reelected, not because they.
But they don't seem to be doing anything.
No.
That they're. I mean, Joan, if you and I did, if we thought about doing our job the way they do theirs, we'd be fired.
And we're
on the
both
spot.
Bipartisan and are disgusting.
Exactly. Next, you are exactly right. 100% correct.
Yep.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she and I will be right back. I don't need this. It's Christmas, Joan. I'm supposed to be happy right now. But I'm not. Stand by, 10 till.
But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had it,
see a chance, gotta take it, wanna lead my way.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Merry Christmas, everybody. Having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. The Kiplinger letter comes every week. The three biweekly letters, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter, those three are 2 weeks, every other week. Then they got a magazine, right, Joan?
We sure do. It's Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Kiplinger.com is where you can find it. Joan, what's the phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Don't forget to check out that 30-day free trial that I worked so hard for. Joan, short-term debt ceiling. We keep busting it. Joan, at some point in time, isn't there going to be some kind of... Don't you think that they're going to lurch somehow towards some level of responsibility and sanity and say, guys, you really can't keep busting the debt ceiling forever? Am I wrong, Joan?
Well, I would like to believe that. It's just that I've been, for years and years and years and years, we've been seeing them bust the debt ceiling. Where does it end?
I mean, do these...
I really don't know.
Now, these aren't stupid people, Joan.
Well...
Why do they... Are they... You know what they remind me of? Have you ever known a highly intelligent person who got hooked on drugs?
not personally.
Well, but
I
you know what? But
them.
But you, yeah, it happens. I mean, yeah. Highly intelligent people get hooked on a drug, or maybe they get maybe they have some other kind of a compulsion, gambling or whatever.
You could be an addictive personality,
and it ruins their lives.
Right.
But
right.
they're still maybe the smartest person you know.
Right.
This is what we got with Congress.
Yeah.
These aren't stupid people.
Well.
But yet they keep doing stupid things.
Right.
Right.
Yes, I'm with you. Only with you.
Folks, these are rare moments here. Joan and I are agreeing on these things. And it must be the Christmas spirit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, Joan, think about that. I mean, you know what, Joan? I'm going to say something right now.
Sure.
Technically, in my opinion, technically, America is bankrupt.
Ah.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
If there's something called contingent liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
That are obligations that corporations have that should be on the books. The auditors make them put them on the books. There were Enron had contingent liabilities. Remember what Enron's when they cooked their books, they moved certain obligations offshore and moved them off balance sheet.
Right.
But they were still obligated for them.
Right.
And it ultimately took them down.
Yes.
Just because it's not on the balance sheet, if it's a contingent liability, if you're committed to making those, if you're obligated to make those. You've got to show them on your balance sheet.
Yeah, but there's one difference between Enron and the U.S. government.
Enron didn't have a mint.
Yes, Enron can't print money.
Right, but we're seeing those chickens come home to roost now, Joan.
Oh, sure.
I mean, look what happened to Greece. Greece's credit limit got reduced by all the ratings.
Yeah.
Great Britain, same thing. They're in peril of that. Talk about America. That happening to America. I mean,
yeah.
Joan... They're playing with fire up there right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, folks, this is, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be the Grinch. I feel like the Grinch here, Joan.
Acting like one, yeah.
I feel like, what was the guy's name? Scrooge?
Yeah, Ebenezer.
I am a little bit of a Scrooge. Okay, Joan, let's talk about debit cards. That's over the top of page two. What's going on with that?
Well, we think that more people are going to use debit cards because that kind of keeps you honest instead of using a credit card where you agree to pay something in the future. The debit card comes right out of your account immediately.
It's cash.
Yeah.
It's cash coming out of plastic.
Right.
And so it's not adding to your debt limit. It's money that you got in the bank. And the truth is, Joan, with Check 21, the technical banking system... called Check 21.
Mm-hmm.
Your check today is basically a debit card.
Oh, gosh.
In so many retailers, because how many times, Joan, do you give somebody a check at one of the bigger retailers, and they just process it through the machine and give it back to you?
And they hand it back to you
as a receipt because they've already got your money.
They've got the money at the point that they're handing it back to you.
Point of sale, and that's Check 21.
Well, I'm hanging on by a thread. I still mail in bills, and I use the float that way.
Well, and you do, yeah. You only get float because of the inefficiency of the U.S. Postal Service.
The minute they get that check, the money gets out of my account, so I can't play the Federal Reserve system with the check going through the system anymore.
That's exactly right. So, anyway, debit card. Debit cards are increased, which all that's part of the deleveraging of the marketplace, isn't
right.
it, Joan?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's happening right now, and Joan, that deleveraging. Has never happened in the last several decades, and that's going to have an impact on the growth
wow.
of the economy.
Wow.
You and I both know that. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Jim, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and we'll see you after the New Year, right?
Sounds good.
Okay, Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Got to go for this hour. Don't forget, folks, I'll be here tomorrow, live and in person, on Christmas Day. I'm Jim Blassingame. Merry Christmas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.